Two teams that were headed in opposite directions either had a stumble or a bounce back last week, and now they face each other in prime time, and maybe all that recency bias is swinging the line on Patriots-Ravens. We'll get into that one in a second. Plus, old man Rivers trying to keep the Colts' playoff hopes alive. We'll talk Monday Night Football and Niners in Indy in just a couple minutes as well. Welcome back into Bet Sweats alongside Kate Constable. I'm Chris Mack. In 20 minutes, we get back into the CFP, specifically the Canes and the Aggies and why A&M should be on upset alert. Plus, maybe Tulane and JMU have a chance to prove something on the road in really tough spots. That coming up in just a moment here in the final hour. But I did mention before break, Kate, the Texans play the Raiders Sunday afternoon. This is not an especially interesting game. The Raiders stink. The Texans are rolling. It's a 14-point spread, 14.5 at BetMGM right now. I'm not going to bet the spread. I mean, you've got a 37.5, 38-point total with such a wide spread. I'm not touching anything on this game. I just continue to keep pinned up on the old bulletin board, the virtual bulletin board, because nobody actually gets paper bet slips anymore. I have got it pinned up there. We caught it, I want to say, like 3.5 weeks ago that the Texans had a chance to win this division. They were 7-1 at that point in time when the Colts had not yet really started to fall apart before the Daniel Jones injury. But we looked at it. And we said, Texans, 7-1 to win the South, maybe one you want to think about. So I'm just taking a moment to give ourselves a good old-fashioned pat on the back there.
Hey, we got to do that every once in a while. You got to count your small wins in the world that we live in today. And just the fact it's not a win yet. We have not cashed that ticket yet, Chris, but it's looking like it's a pretty good shot. It could be Texans plus 115 to win the division. I mean, the Texans, their defense has been phenomenal all season. That's what propelled them when the offense was struggling. The offense is starting to catch up. Like, I would be scared if I had to see the Texans come postseason. And I think the Texans do get into the postseason. I'm with you on this game, though. 14.5. What are you going to get from the Raiders? Probably not a whole lot. Texans still fighting for playoff positioning and, you know, winning that division. So the motivation is certainly more is there for the Texans, much more than it is for the Raiders. It's still a big number. Wonky stuff happens. I'm not laying anything here, but we were spot on with our take of the Texans earlier on this season and kind of the buy low point of them. And we're seeing it kind of pay off right now.
Yeah. I think I'm just more excited that we got the price than anything else. And it's down to 125 now, Texans to win the AFC South. So I feel good about getting it. But yeah, I'm not touching 14.5. I mean, it could be an utterly dominant performance by the Texans. They could be up 31-7. You take the under because you don't expect the Raiders to score at all. And then all of a sudden you get a backdoor field goal to crush the total or something like that. No, thanks. I'm not interested. And no, we're not going to talk about the Falcons and the Cardinals. The most interesting part of that game this weekend is the 2.5 minute offensive breakdown Kirk Cousins gave in his media availability. If you didn't see it on social media, go back and find it. It was actually really interesting to listen to Kirk Cousins talk about coming up in the league, learning how to dissect defenses and coverages. And if you're a football nerd or a football geek and you love that stuff and talking cover one and cover two, and what do you do when you're reading half the field versus the full field and working through your progressions, it was really good stuff, really interesting. And I always have a soft spot for Kirk Cousins because he seems like a great guy. But I have no interest in that game whatsoever.
I have a soft spot for Kirk Cousins, too. I don't know how you can't. I also have zero interest in betting this game. Zero interest. And I did not see that Kirk Cousins clip as Western Michigan takes a kickoff to the house in the bowl game.
Is that the opening kickoff of the old Myrtle Beach Bowl?
Opening kickoff bowl season, baby. Electric.
Give me meaningless group of five bowl games, baby. Western Michigan and Kennesaw State. Yes. Love it.
In terms of this game, though, no, Chris, it won't be electric. I do not believe so, and so I am not betting on it.
Western Michigan just took the kick to the house, and it's already a 7-0 game. So you hold that, Kate Constable.
Look who decided to show up today.
Jake.
Hello, Jake.
I literally just got done saying Western Michigan just took it to the house on the kickoff. This is electric.
Oh, word.
What a
I don't know, man. I'm on the executioner's block. Who cares? Nothing matters.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, I mean, you're not wrong, Jake, though, Jake. You are not wrong.
I actually had kind things to say about you today. You can go back and listen to them from earlier.
That's a first. I won't be doing that, though.
Exactly what he said you would say, two kind things.
Didn't I call it?
You did.
It doesn't matter what I say about Jake.
Seriously.
I could say the nicest things, and he's going to take it the wrong way. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All right. Primetime games. New England, Baltimore. This line is on the wrong side. I do not understand this at all. The Patriots are going into Baltimore, and they're getting 3 against the Ravens, who dominated the Bengals last week. That's all well and good. Okay, congratulations, Baltimore. You may be getting things back on track. You may not. You're still behind the Steelers in the AFC North. The Patriots, on the other hand, blew a massive lead to the Bills at home. So I understand everyone tapping the brakes on New England right now. But I don't understand them getting points going into Baltimore. New England clinches a playoff berth with a win and keeps hope alive for the number one seed, which they've still got a shot at, depending on what goes on with the Bills. Obviously, they're in Cleveland, so we expect the Bills will keep things tight with the Patriots down to the bitter end. But one game against the Bengals, for me, Kate, is not enough to buy back in on the Ravens actually being able to do what they want to do on offense. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, one game against the Bengals, and I mean, the Bengals defense. Like, this Patriots defense is significantly better than the Bengals defense. And I know the run defense has kind of dropped off a little for the Patriots. I mean, the first, 8 games of the season, they only allowed 100 yards on the ground twice. Well, my argument for backing the Ravens, if you are doing that at all, is I think Derrick Henry could have a lot of success in this game. He's come alive over the last couple of weeks. And with the, I just mentioned the Patriots run defense being a little soft recently, like that would be a way I would bet on the Ravens would be to bet on Derrick Henry versus laying the 3. Cause this does seem like a very big number for Ravens. I mean, and this is maybe a division thing. Like the Ravens kind of feel like the Steelers. Okay. 2 good games. They haven't played well all season. Like, can I trust them after just a couple good games? Like, can I trust Aaron Rodgers after 2 good games type of feel? Right. That's what I get in this game. The other argument for the Ravens, and I mean, this could be just a really silly comment, but like, I feel this in the NBA a lot, is like when a team is on a winning streak and all of a sudden that winning streak comes to an end, I always fade that team that very next game again, because the wind is out of the sails. Is let out of the sails for a little bit. And I mean, I know in the NBA, you're playing 2 nights later. And so like you let your guard down for 24 hours and all of a sudden you found yourself with 2 losses in a row. It's different in the NFL, and the Patriots still fighting for their positioning. So there won't be any lack of motivation for the Patriots at all. I would take the points with New England, but if you want to back the Ravens at all, I would take Derrick Henry props. Went over his rushing prop last week, 88.5. I think he goes over it again this week.
That's a good call. I don't mind that. I don't expect that sort of air out of the balloon effect to happen with the Patriots. As much as I dog Mike Vrabel, he is still a good coach. I dog Vrabel because I don't think he's Vince Lombardi Jr. like a lot of people want to make him out to be. But I do think he'll have this team focused enough to bounce back with, like I said, the number one seed in the division title still up for grabs, and the opportunity to clinch a playoff berth with a win as well against a Ravens team that, like you pointed out, only bounced back last week because they were facing the Bengals defense. Is this Myrtle Beach Bowl getting out of control?
I just looked up and it's 14-0 Western Michigan, which means it had to have been a pick 6. I don't know what happened, but it is out of control. We're like 3 minutes in the game and it's 14-0.
I saw the look on your face for a second. I was like, something's happening. This is
it's nuts.
This is the beauty of ridiculous bowl games being played at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Exactly. Chris, I will also add another point to the loss to the win over the Bengals last week. Wasn't that the game after Joe Burrow came out and said, Yeah. Any team would beat me with the way I played in that game. I was that bad that anyone could have beat us that day and smashed us the way the Ravens did. So, like, on paper, it looks like an awesome, awesome win. But, like, take into account what actually happened in that game, how Burrow played, how that Bengals defense played, and all of a sudden, a blowout win. Maybe we don't need to be jumping the gun and giving the Ravens that much credit after that type of a win.
So this brings up an interesting side note that has nothing to do with betting the game or any of these teams, to be honest, but I think it's worth talking about because it started to sort of simmer on the back burner as a lot of these teams start to look to the offseason. The Joe Burrow comments the last couple of weeks have picked up a lot of steam in the national media. The way he sounded very sort of oddly non-committal to his future in Cincinnati. Do you think there's a chance? Now, it's the Bengals, so anything is possible. The Brown family runs that franchise like a drunk man at a poker game. They have no idea what they're doing half the time. Is it possible Joe Burrow could be somewhere else next season?
1,000%. Yeah. I don't think he wants to be. I think he likes Cincinnati, like living in Cincinnati. I think he likes where he's at outside of like football, right? Outside of what's going on there. Because the Bengals have shown year after year that the moves that they make in the offseason don't support their franchise quarterback. If anything, like that's the reason Burrow keeps getting injured is because the offensive line can't hold up. And you're asking Burrow to do so much because your defense is so terrible. So if I were Burrow, yeah, I would eventually want to move on too.
So this is, and look, I just absolutely smashed the Brown family because I don't think they have any idea how to run the Bengals. I know what really, I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. I know exactly what an organization being run poorly looks like. So to that end, I know that the Bengals are run poorly, but they did keep Chase and Higgins, and they've gone out of the way to keep those two for Joe Burrow. But you're right to an extent. They haven't built anything else around him. And I don't know if you can necessarily say, oh, they haven't done anything for me if they have kept your top two weapons around.
That's yes, a very good argument, very valid argument. But that's hard, like, I guess that's the reason they can't build elsewhere around because they've kept that. So maybe they need to, poorly as they've run things, say no to Joe Burrow, but then you're not keeping your franchise quarterback happy in terms of keeping his weapons. I mean, it's just a kind of a mess all around. And maybe the thing is like, draft better. Shamar Stewart this year, like he was their top draft pick. Didn't make a massive impact, injured, right? The way you dealt with the offseason stuff, the way you've dealt, like maybe button up some of those things and the totality of the organization gets a little bit better. But I don't know what the answer for Burrow is because you're right. They did do right by him by signing Higgins and Chase. But by doing that, you can't build the roster anywhere else. And so you're never going to improve if your defense is constantly going to be like this, if your offensive line is as poor as it is. So.
And I just don't know how many realistic landing spots there are for him where he ends up in a place that's more competitive, has a legit shot at making a playoff run every year based on his arrival. I mean, there are plenty of places that are looking for quarterbacks, but they're all teams that are sort of, I think they need more than just the quarterback. Like somebody would point to Miami maybe initially, or maybe Indy, right? Because you don't know what that situation is going to look like going forward now. But where else is there? They're not going to trade him in division to the Steelers.
Arizona's not any better than Cincinnati.
Right. I've heard people bring up New Orleans because, you know, the Louisiana connections for Burrow. You're going to go to the Saints and suck for a year or two? If you're Burrow, you want to go someplace where you've got a chance to win right away. So none of that really adds up either. I just don't know where he could land and where it makes sense right now. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on because I do think, like you, the door is totally open to the Bengals being the Bengals and sort of blowing things up on the fly because Burrow decides to exert a little bit of control and a little bit of power. And I wouldn't blame him for that. I wouldn't. But I think that that does remain a distinct possibility. All right. Can Daniel Jones, can Phillip Rivers, my brain has totally vacated my body over the last 8 minutes. I don't know what happened. Sleep deprivation. Can Phillip Rivers keep the Colts playoff hopes alive? Plus, are the Aggies on upset alert at home against the Hurricanes tomorrow? We get into both of those games next right here on BetSweat. Are the Aggies on upset alert tomorrow afternoon? Make it morning in the Central Time Zone when they host the Miami Hurricanes, who just got into the CFP. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes here on BetSweats. Plus, maybe a couple peeks at those two games where everybody expects Ole Miss and Oregon to smash Tulane and James Madison, respectively, as the CFP kicks off tonight. If you missed our handicap earlier, our conversation about Alabama and Oklahoma, it was in the first hour of the show. You can always rewind on your Odyssey app or grab it in podcast form wherever you get your audio. Alongside Kate Constable, I'm Chris Mack in on BetSweats today. And before we get back into the CFP, Kate, one final game to talk about on the NFL Week 16 slate. Monday night, Niners visiting the Colts. Can old man Rivers keep Indy's playoff hopes alive? They're essentially eliminated with a loss. I don't know if it's a technical elimination, but they're buried if they lose. The Niners, on the other hand, can clinch a berth with a Lions loss to the Steelers on Sunday afternoon. Even if we don't expect that's likely, it's a possibility. And the Niners, I think more importantly, we started the show talking about that incredible game in Seattle last night. The Niners still have a chance to earn the number one seed in the NFC, to win the NFC West, despite everything we saw from the Seahawks and the Rams. I want to table that question for just a second that we've been asking throughout the show about, can this team beat Seattle and LA, and just focus on Monday night's game specifically. Niners are laying 6 at Indy. Would you lay it? And do the Colts have any hope left at this point?
You lay the 6. I think everyone is talking about the Seahawks and Rams in that division, the NFC West. And I mean, for very good reason. But the Niners, they've won 4 straight games by double digits, Chris. 10 points or more. They are 3-0 straight up and against the spread in primetime this season. Yeah, the Colts played well against the Seahawks. Were the Seahawks at all looking ahead to playing the Rams, a massive division game?
Maybe.
You know, ahead of their game against the Colts last week. Phillip Rivers, you get a big bump because you know, so much hype around this old quarterback coming in, but like, it's a fun storyline and everything. I'm not sure you get Rivers playing as well as he did in that first game. This is just a Niners are nothing for me. I'm not backing the Colts plus 6.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that we go from the Colts going up against Seattle, granted on the road, but going up against Seattle as nearly, what were they, 2 touchdown dogs. And we hadn't seen what Rivers was capable or incapable of yet before that game. But then a week later, we're talking about the Phillip Rivers-led Colts, granted at home, but now it's just 6 against San Francisco, who I think is maybe not on par with Seattle, but they're not that far behind them. They're nipping right at their heels. So I think the 2-touchdown spread may have been off a week ago against Seattle, but I think the 6-point spread this week against San Francisco can also be off. I think last week probably should have been more in the range of 10-ish, and they still would have covered. And I think this week should probably also be more in the range of like 9.5. So if you're only laying 6 with San Francisco, I think I'm totally on board with you laying the points. The more interesting question here, I think, is what we started the show talking about. Can anyone in the NFC beat Seattle or LA? San Francisco might be the one team that can do it, assuming their defense that's currently held together with duct tape and paper clips can hold up in the playoffs against one of those two teams.
That's the concern. I mean, the 49ers were my pick to win the Super Bowl prior to the start of the season. So I feel like I can't exactly jump off them now and say, no, there's no chance when there's, I mean, even a path for them to win the division here. I think Brock Purdy has started to string together a couple of good games and he's playing a little bit better. The offense has been fine. It's just what do you get from the defense and what do you get in the postseason from this defense? Like, sure, you can piece it together when you're playing mediocre teams throughout the season and it looks great, but like going up against offenses like the Rams where Stafford threw for 400 plus yards last week, I mean, even Sam Darnold in Seattle, that's the biggest question mark that I have price wise. Like, for, I mean, if you're betting Super Bowl prices, I think they're the best price for the talent that they have on that team, 17-1. I would take them over, you know, the Jacksonville is 20-1, the Bears 22, even the Ravens further down the board. Like, that's probably a team that if you want value on for a Super Bowl pick, I would look towards the Niners in that sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, the NFC and AFC, very different complexion when you look at the possible playoff fields for both sides. AFC, about as wide open as it can get. Maybe nobody that you really fear other than the Bills, assuming they stay hot. NFC side, you're going to have to get through the Rams and or the Seahawks. And if there's a team that could do that and you got them priced at 10-1 to win the NFC, the Niners would be that team. And again, I think they cover that 6 in Indy on Monday night. We've got a chance to live bet Kennesaw State at 10-1 on the money line. They're down 3 touchdowns, Kate.
No,
come on, let's get crazy.
They have been getting smoked in every aspect. Jake said in the chat, Western Michigan's going to win this game 1,000,000-0. I really do think that's the case, Chris. I think we need to save our money here. And, I mean, Kennesaw State can't move the ball. And I'm watching with, like, one eye barely on the TV. And everything I see, and as I say that, it's like a 20-yard run for Kennesaw State. So, hey, maybe. 10.5 is – what was the closing line?
I don't have it in front
of
me.
If it's 10.5 now, Kennesaw State might have been favored.
I have Kennesaw getting 20.5 right now on the live line.
That might be worth taking. Zach said Western Michigan -4.5. That looks pretty easy right now.
So maybe we're all in on Kennesaw. Maybe we'll save our money, like you said, for some real college football games that are being played this weekend. We talked Bama, Oklahoma earlier. Let's talk about Miami, Texas A&M. I think the Aggies got to be on upset alert here. And it's a 3.5-point spread. It's an 11 a.m. kick in College Station because ESPN doesn't want to go up against the NFL in the afternoon and evening windows, so this game gets scheduled for a noon Eastern kick. Congratulations, Texas A&M. You got your home playoff game, but you're playing it just after breakfast. Two of the top 20 scoring offenses in the country this year in Miami and Texas A&M, but Miami's defense is just brutal. They put the clamps down. They are 7th best in the country against the run. They turned the ball over, 20 turnovers they've forced this year, 12 picks, 8 fumbles, and they're top 10 in the country in getting off the field on third down as well. I understand A&M generates a ton of pressure, tied for the lead with Oklahoma in sacks this year, 41. But I think as long as Carson Beck doesn't do some stupid Carson Beck things when there's pressure in his face, Miami can hit some big plays. And I like Miami straight up on the upset here at +140.
Wow. Chris, I was watching some TV while I was getting ready for the show this morning, and there was a panel moment, everyone on Miami as well. And I thought, what in the world? What am I missing here? I'm on A&M. I'm going opposite you. I'm on A&M, and I'm on A&M covering. Since beating Notre Dame in week 1, Miami has faced Bethune-Cookman, I don't even know if I'm saying that school right, a group of 5 opponent, two unranked losses, a 5-win team, 2 4-win teams, 2 3-win teams, and then you beat a 7-8 win team. In other words, they haven't beaten anyone all that great this season. I think their best win outside of Notre Dame is, Louisville? They've only played outside of the state of Florida 3 times. And that was against SMU, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. Kyle Field is an entirely different ballgame than where they've played at those places. So more so than in X's and O's. And you talk about Miami's defense, and yes, and as long as Carson Beck can hold on to the ball, this is more of just like a, I don't trust Miami on the road at Kyle Field in this type of massive environment when they really haven't been challenged all that much this season. A&M, I like that they're coming off that loss to Texas in rivalry week. They're averaging 35 points per game, allowing fewer than 24. That number is pretty good. I am going all in on Texas A&M in this one.
See, I want to see if A&M can sustain drives against Miami's defense. And I, you mentioned the loss to Texas. The last two visions I have in my head of the Aggies are an ugly loss to the Longhorns in a game that would have guaranteed them a spot in the SEC title game and probably a bye in the playoff. And the game previous to that, they had a bye game in between, I should say, 2 weeks previous to that, where they nearly lost to South Carolina at home and had to have a massive comeback to win that game and still barely got away with one against South Carolina at home. I think A&M's on shaky ground. I really do, because if they don't get the big plays against Miami's defense, I don't think they can sustain drives. I'm going to have to see it in order to have it proven to me. And I get, look, I'm making the same point about Carson Beck that I think a lot of people are making. It's not a novel concept to think that Carson Beck may go into a hostile environment and may have a pass rush in his face and may turn the ball over. We've seen it before. Absolutely. But I also think if you're going on the road in the first round of the CFP, yes, the environment is a huge part of it. And I'll continue my argument that the quarterfinals should also be on campus. I think it's stupid that they're at neutral sites and the top four seeds don't get home games. But aside from that, it is an advantage. But I think it's mitigated by the fact that, A, like I said, this game's kicking off at 11 a.m. Eastern in College Station. And B, I think Beck, as bad as he's looked at times in big games, both at Georgia and at Miami, has enough of that experience that maybe it helps them deal with it. And all the pressure is on A&M. I talked about the pressure factor between Alabama and Oklahoma and DeBoer and Simpson, and it's just different. Oklahoma's walking into that game. Maybe it's all gravy from here on out. Alabama's got to win or else there could be some major shakeups. I think if you're A&M and you were ticketed all year as a top three team, and then all of a sudden over the last month, you've stumbled a good bit, and now, yeah, it's great. Your reward was a home playoff game, but you've got to win four to win a national championship rather than three. And I don't believe that A&M can play totally mistake-free football up and down the field as many times as they'll have to outscore Miami with that incredible receiving core. So, yeah, I'm still on Miami plus the 3.5. I think it may be good for a sneaky under, too. This number is at 48.5. It's been dropping since it opened at 51.5. And you've got two good defenses. So that's one I have an eye on, but I'm riding with Miami plus the 3.5. So we'll be on opposite ends of that one tomorrow afternoon. The two group of five teams, yes, two group of five teams that made it into the playoff, both go on the road in the last two games of the first round. Tomorrow afternoon, Tulane is getting 17.5 at Ole Miss. James Madison is getting 21 at Oregon. I don't see either one of these teams pulling off what would be just an absolute Cinderella upset. I think both of them are probably getting blown out at halftime and probably get a lot of guys some playing time in the second half for Ole Miss and Oregon. It's why I don't like the full game spreads. I think you've got too many opportunities for backdoor covers in both of these games. But I would look at both Ole Miss and Oregon's first half team totals. Ole Miss is at 20.5. Oregon is at 17.5. Because I think they'll both score early, take control of these games, and then maybe coast in the fourth quarter.
I think that's the way to go, is silo it to the first half. And I mean, I would feel comfortable playing the side in the first half and laying whatever points with Ole Miss and Oregon. Cause yeah, get up big, put them away early, handle business, and then let your stars rest and make sure no one gets hurt second half. Maybe some backdoor covers, but If I had to bet full game in both of these, I would still take Ole Miss and I would still take Oregon. I think both of these teams absolutely smash. James Madison really is only in the playoff because Duke beat Virginia, which made Miami in, Notre Dame out, blah, 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 all of that stuff. So I don't think James Madison necessarily deserves a spot in here, despite their record and the committee putting them in. But like talent-wise, James Madison versus Oregon, there's a big discrepancy there. And then
just say,
Ole Miss.
You're a group of five hater. Just say it. You're a group of five.
I don't think
hater.
The group of five should be in the playoff. Get them out. Get them out. I want better teams.
What would we do without 15 and 16 seeds in the NCAA tournament? What would we do without a group of five team in the college football playoff? You got to have a possible Cinderella moment.
Wasn't it Joel Klatt that just came out and was like, and March Madness is the dumbest tournament ever because you have these Cinderella teams. And that's a bad take right there by Joel Klatt, because nothing is better than March Madness. But football's a different animal. Group of five teams, go have your own.
You gotta have just a little glimmer of hope that maybe you could see some chaos. I don't think it happens tomorrow. Neither one of us does. But you got to have just the faintest little glimmer of hope. Keep the group of five alive. Our favorite bets of the day and the football weekend coming up next inside Lightning Bets as we wrap up Bet Sweats here on the BetMGM Network. Got to get you our favorite plays of the day and the weekend, both across week 16 of the NFL and, of course, the college football playoff before we wrap up here in just a minute. Lightning Bets inside Bet Sweats here on the BetMGM Network. Kate, what are the Christmas plans? What are the holiday plans for you over the next week or so?
Oh, I can't believe it's already Christmas, Chris. 48 hours in Minnesota. Quick trip. We fly in, we fly out, we fly back to Chicago on Christmas. We're in the stage where we're like trying to appease both families. We'll go to Minnesota with my family, do Christmas on the 24th, fly back, do Christmas on the 25th, my husband's family. And this is probably the last year that we're going to be doing that because life's going to get even crazier. And that's just not going to happen a whole lot longer. So yeah, which is great. We get to see both families. But the holidays are always a whirlwind, especially when you don't live near one side, when you have to travel, because it's like you barely get there. You barely get settled. You're on a plane back and it's great. It's fast. It's all of that stuff, but it's a lot. And then on top of that, Chris, then we fly to Philly for a New Year's Eve wedding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bet you didn't expect that when you asked.
Who has, I say this knowing that one of my best friends years ago had a wedding on New Year's Eve. And I get the concept it's New Year's Eve, it's a party, all that kind of stuff. But like, come on, separate the wedding from New Year's Eve, from a holiday. It doesn't fly for me. I'm sorry.
That was my take years ago, but now, I mean, I think I've spent New Year's on the couch the last like 3 years. And so I'm like, okay, maybe this is something that this is going to help me get out of the house. You know, maybe this is I don't have to plan anything for a party. I don't have to buy like a bar ticket or anything like that. This is just it. But I do have to fly to Philly and find a black tie dress and all of that jazz, come on.
It's New Year's Eve. It shouldn't be about looking classy and, you know, being somewhat responsible. It should be chaotic. That New Year's Eve should always have or the opposite end of the spectrum. You just lay on your couch, right? And watch Anderson Cooper while the ball drops or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I've done and that's what I like to do. I mean, I did the crazy New Year's stuff for years and years. Don't get me wrong. That was always fun. But it's time to relax. What are your plans? Are you... Monsterville was in full force for quite a few years on New Year's Eve.
So we get a different kind of chaos because we host Christmas and it's not a ton of people. We'll probably have like, I'm going to do quick math in my head, maybe like 10, 12 people. Not a lot, right? A few members of extended family. But the kind of chaos that happens then is my wife trying to get everything ready, trying to ensure that the house is spotless so it can just become a mess again 6 hours later. All the cooking, like she's already stressing about making the meatballs this weekend and making sure those are done. And then She's got to make, you know, chocolate covered Oreo balls and whatever other cookies my son wants. And it's just, and so right now we're in the preparation for chaos, which is trying to clean the house top to bottom, knowing that again, she's going to want to do this in another 4 or 5 days, clean it all over again. So like, it's just, it's very stressful right now. Not because I'm actually doing anything. I just do what I'm told. Right? But like, because it's just when she's stressed, I'm stressed. And that's what's happening is just a whole lot of getting ready to have people over.
Have you seen those videos of like the crazy, I mean, they're like parody videos, but the crazy mom that's like, we can't let anyone know we live here. We have to have it spotless. Yes. There's nothing that was my mom growing up too. And my mom texted me last week. She was making the meatballs, actually earlier this week, making the meatballs. How much salt do I put in this recipe? I'm like, I don't know, Mom.
I don't know.
I've never made it before. Read the recipe. Like,
you've been doing this for like, how many years? You got it.
They just kind of lose their minds. Moms around the holidays. So I feel the stress in your home this week. I can sense what it is. But hopefully the day comes, does she relax on that day?
Yeah, after a couple glasses of wine, things cool off a little bit. Yeah, but it's still like, and it's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have Christmas at home, not have to leave the house, not have to drive anywhere. We'll stop a couple places on Christmas Eve. And it's nice to just keep it low key on Christmas Day. I'll probably have to set up gifts and different stuff without giving anything away. Because, yes, believe it or not, my son will actually go on the Instagram feed and on the video feed and try to find things out. Like, if he knows, if there's a chance I even allude to something he may get and this video ends up out there somewhere, he'll find out. So I can't really give it away. But there may be things to set up or put together, because that always happens on Christmas morning. But that'll be the most stressful thing of Christmas Day once we get everybody over here. And then we'll be able to relax. But until then, it's just like if I leave an envelope laying next to the coffee machine, I am threatened with near certain death. Like, why are you just leaving stuff all over the house? What's wrong with you?
And the thing is, what makes it even funnier, it's we act this way to have family over or to have our very closest friends over. It's like people who like we shouldn't have to make our lives look perfect for, but like we do anyway and we stress out about it. But like they're the people that we're choosing to spend holidays with. It would be one thing if like you had strangers over that like you wanted to not look like a slob for.
Right. I don't care if I look like a slob for my family. I don't.
Right.
I'm comfortable. Yeah. I'm in my own home. Let me be a slob.
Let me live my life.
Right.
I will be one of those crazy, crazy women later on in life when I'm hosting things. So I don't blame your wife at all. But we're all just a little crazy.
Just a little. Some more than others. All right. Let's get into whatever the heck we're betting for this week. NFL, college football, anything else you want to drop in? What do you got?
All right. Let's start in a little NFL. I like my Mike Evans over his receiving yards, 55.5. Anytime touchdown plus 170. I'm going to go to Devon Achane over 80.5 rushing yards as well. I think he goes off this week for a very big game. In terms of sides and totals, I like the 49ers minus 4.5. And I thought I had one other here written down. And I like the... Do I take Tampa Bay? I mean, Carolina, Chris. That's the one that's up in the air.
Voice.
It is. It's because it is disgusting. That one is up in the air for me. So I may end up on Carolina plus the 3 in college football. I am going to go under in Bama and Oklahoma tonight, 40.5. And then I'm going to go against you still. Texas A&M minus the 3.5 against Miami. That game tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow, noon Eastern, 11 Central. So an early kick in College Station.
There you go.
All right. Good stuff. I am with you. I'll get to the NFL bets in a second. I'm with you on the under in Alabama, Oklahoma. I think more so on the DeBoer side, but both coaches probably going to play it tight and close to the vest. And two good defenses against quarterbacks that have been pretty inconsistent for the last month or so. So under 40.5 on Bama, Oklahoma. I told you why I'm on Miami. I think Carson Beck will be able to handle the environment. better than A&M's offense is able to handle the Hurricanes' defense. So I'll take Miami getting the 3.5 to upset the Aggies and move on to the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State on New Year's Eve. And then the two games with the massive spreads, like we talked about, I'm just going to take first half team totals with the favorites. Ole Miss first half team total over 20.5 and Oregon first half team total over 17.5. I do think there's maybe a weird opportunity in both of those games. Tulane's defense has been opportunistic this year. They're plus 10 in turnover margin, and James Madison really tries to grind games down. They've been great in time of possession wise. So if we get to the half and both of those games are uncomfortably close, maybe, and you get a tighter spread on either Ole Miss or Oregon laying some points, I would think about a live bet in either one of those opportunities, but more so probably just going to go with the team totals over in the first half for Ole Miss and Oregon. As for the NFL, I said it. I think the line's wrong. I think it's on the wrong side in Baltimore. I'll take New England plus 3 at the Ravens. I like Denver, the other team atop the AFC standings, laying just a field goal against Jacksonville. I still have to see it from Jacksonville before I believe that they're legit what their record says they are. And then Green Bay tomorrow night in Chicago, getting 1.5 against the Bears. I know the Micah Parsons effect is real, but I think if Green Bay's smart about this and they sell out to stop the run, I think they've got an opportunity to put the game on Caleb Williams' shoulders. And if he proves me wrong, great. Good for Caleb, good for the Bears, and he proves me wrong. But I want to see it first, and I want to see him single-handedly almost beat Green Bay. Not saying it's impossible, just saying I'm betting Green Bay to put the game on Caleb Williams' shoulders. So those are my NFL bets for the weekend as well. Just wanted to say it one more time. I know we talked about it earlier, but we've both had a ton of fun filling in for Joe O and Sammy P. I know they're going to go on to do fantastic things on their own, but it sucks when you're in the situation that they are in. And again, to everybody that's worked behind the scenes with us on whether it's Bet Sweats or the Daily Tip or any shows we've done on the network, I really do. Over the amount of time that we've spent with them, Kate, I consider all of them friends and would do anything for them. Paul Aspen, who's not here today, Jake, who managed to make it. Thanks, bud. And Brian Gertsch, our video producer. I love each and every one of you guys, seriously. And I look forward to seeing what each and every one of you is doing going forward, and if we can be a part of helping you out in any way, by all means. And Kate, I'll see you again very soon.
We will. I will. We'll see you. Well, Monday, Chris. We are hanging out here on Bet Sweats on Monday with everyone. But then again, well, you might not be here on Monday with me. I will be here Monday. You'll be there Tuesday.
You'll be here.
Yeah. Anyway, I echo your sentiment on everyone that we've worked with, everyone who's built this show and this network up to what it is. And yes, you and I will be going forward on Sundays after the Super Bowl. Looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
It will be. For everybody here at the BetMGM Network, for our producer, Zach Krell, for the aforementioned genius of the video, Brian Gertsch, and for our man, Jake Hassan, who's going to go smash up somebody's garage. No, he's getting paid to do it. I swear, it's totally cool. This has been Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.